Okay, welcome back. Here we are on Daf Vav Amud Beis in Ta'anit. And what happened today? What happened today in our part of the world, in Yerushalayim?
Lechora
it's the Yore. It was a very brief Yore. I mean, at least here, I was sitting in the backyard, and there were a couple of drops. But I think in Yerushalayim there was a more serious falling of the rain. So now it's true.
There's a hail somewhere I could talk about.
Oh, yeah? So.
It was rain today?
Yeah. It rained today?
Huh.
Yeah.
Oh, I missed it.
Steve hasn't left the house in a month, so he doesn't know what's going on. Now the truth is that on this Motzei Shabbat, at least for those of us here in Eretz Yisrael, and I believe we are all here in Eretz Yisrael. We're all here in Gush Etzion, except for Cecil, who is at, I forgot, Kibbutz. Shachachti. Cecil, remind me, where are you?
Keturah.
Kibbutz Keturah. So we start saying V'tein Talu Matal Avracha on this Motzei Shabbat, which is Zayin Cheshvan. We wait 2 weeks until after Sukkot to give the Ole Regel time to get out of here so they don't get rained on. So probably what happened this year, since there were no Ole Regel because everybody was home for Corona, HaKadosh Baruch Hu thought he could send the rain a little early because nobody's going to get rained on. But we start this week, we already started saying Mashiv Baruch Merid Hashem on Shmini Atzeret. And here in Eretz Yisrael, we start saying V'tein Talu Matal Avracha on Zayin Cheshvan, which is Motzei Shabbat. So just let's quickly review the halachot. If you forgot Talu Matar, you have to repeat the Amidah. But you know there are a few escape hatches. So if before you said Shem Hashem in Baruch Ata Hashem Mevarech Hashanim. So you say V'tein Talu Matal Avracha, and then you just continue the bracha. But if you already finish the bracha, if you say Baruch Atah Hashem Mivarech Hashanim, but haven't yet started the next bracha, which is Tika B'Shofar Gadol L'Chayroteinu, so right there in between the two brachot, you just say V'tein Talu Matal Avracha, and it counts.
Isn't the case that in the winter, if you forget it, it's not so gefährlich that you have to go back, but if in the summer you say it by mistake, you do? Like, it isn't like a kid?
If we say
Morid Hatal by accident.
No, that I know.
If you mess it up, you have to in the winter. If you mess it up, right? But again, if you can catch it in between, so then if you don't say it there, you could say it in Shomea Tfilah. If you don't say it in Shomea Tfilah, you go back to Brech Aleinu. You don't have to go back to the beginning. If you're still in the middle of the Amidah, you say Brech Aleinu. You go back to that bracha and continue straight from there. But if you finish the davening, then you have to go back and daven it again. So the short answer is, don't forget. So that's the halacha.
I think I once heard something similar to what Ben was saying, though, that if you say the same bracha in the winter,
yeah,
you're still asking for a bracha, you're just not explicitly asking for rain. As opposed to in the summer, if you accidentally say the same Talmud Matali bracha, which is not considered a bracha in the summer, that then you do have to go back.
All right,
is that what you were saying?
I'm remembering, I'm doing this bal peh, so let's look it up.
Also, you shouldn't ask for rain in the wrong time of year because it's not appropriate.
Right. I don't remember that the halacha lamasa is that way.
Hold on a second.
But I remember that svara.
I thought I saw it written that way in Sidurim, but
I'm fairly certain I've seen that only for Moshe Baruch Hageshem, and like in a regular surrogate, they'll always say go back, whereas it doesn't, you know, doesn't have that in.
I understand. What's the so what? You forgot to ask for rain. You only asked for.
No, but there's like certain things like you can't like you don't say Avinenu again if you don't, you know, if you have to, you can't do it in the winter because you didn't, you didn't, like you're missing the economy.
Yeah.
I mean, I imagine we'll get to that in Tani, but.
That's why you must start again. No, if you have to, right? You have to repeat the Shmon Esrei. You have to repeat the Shmon Esrei if you forgot it. Okay, anyway, here we are. Daf Vav in the middle. Let me find the arrow. Four lines in the skinny lines. Four lines down in the thick lines, rather. So the Revi'ari Shona, what we call the Yoreh, which may have started falling today, the Revi'ari Shona, how much rain has to fall for it to be considered the first phase of the Revi'a or of the Yoreh? So Lichora, the rain that we had today does not really count. Even though, according to people's posts on Facebook, it was the Yoreh, and we were accustomed, even on the radio I heard, we were accustomed from the very first drizzle to say it's the Yoreh, it's Lahalocha, it might not be the Yoreh. The Gemara says here, Revi'ari Shona, Kedei Sheterid Bekarka Tefach. It has to be enough rain so that the moisture saturates down at least a Tefach. Right, if you dig down a tefach's a fist breadth, maybe 3 inches, so you can see that the ground is damp. Shnia kedei lagof ba pi chavit, and the second phase of the yoreh has to be enough so that you generate enough mud that you can cake the cover of an earthenware pot. You know, they used to have these earthenware pots that would have, you know, that would hold wine and oil and whatnot. And the lid of the jug would fit into the thing, and it would be sealed with mud. They would take mud and they would smear it around, and that would dry and hold the lid in place. So the second phase of the Yoreh has to produce enough water so that the ground is muddy enough that you can, I guess, scoop it out and smear it around the top of the jug to seal it up. It's a rather a particular example. Right? In other words, you know, you remember the first Mishnah in Brachot about what time for Zman Kriyat Shema. So instead of like telling you a clock time or telling you as a function of Sha'ud Zmaniot, they start talking about when the Bnei Malachim would come in and what was going on. The examples are taken from the reality of daily life in the times of the Mishnah. So here, I guess this is an example of like how damp does something have to be. So if you would have told people in a world where clay earthenware jugs were, you know, were the everyday, you know, the everyday utensils in use, so that might have been, I don't know, like what would be a contemporary example? You know, like if you have to tell somebody, you know, we live in a world which is measured in grams and ounces and you know, how much Coke is in a can of Coke? So what's the answer?
Whatever the grams or ounces
are. I mean, I still speak ounces because of my youth in America. So a can of Coke, you know, a can of soda is 12 ounces, 12 fluid ounces. What is that? That's like 330, milliliters. Is that correct? You don't know. Right? But in other words, people who aren't quite so precise, they know what a, you know what a, like if you fill up a glass, a can of, if I'm trying to give you like an expression of like a liquid measure, I might say, yeah, it's about a can of Coke. It's about a can of soda. Right? Because that's the kind of thing that, you know, people
well, people say like it's the length of a football field or the, you know, the volume of a swimming pool.
Right. So that's, you know, this is just an example. So Rav Chisda, Omer Rav Chisda, Gshamim Shiyardu Kdei Lagof Bahem Pi Chavit, Ein Bahem Mishum V'atzar. So Rav Chisda says, when it rains enough that you've generated enough mud to seal up your jugs, so then, Ein Bahem Mishum V'atzar. V'atzar Et HaShamayim V'lo Yematar. The words from Kriyat Shema, the punishment, the curse, when God says he won't send enough rain, when there'll be atzirat gishamim, right? So Rav Chisda says when you've had in the beginning of the rain, when you've had enough, when you've hit that mark that you're able to seal up your jugs, there's been that much rain, so that's a sign that this year there's no atzirat gishamim, right? That the curse will not apply this year.
Maybe this is also, besides a common, you know, thing people are familiar with, maybe there's also a bit of a mnemonic device, because you think of, you know, the heavens being closed up the same way you think about your jugs or your barrels being closed up.
That's excellent, David. That's excellent. Right? In other words, the heavens are sealed from rain. If you can seal up your jugs, the heavens are open. Excellent. So now the Gemara gets into these things of like, when do you know you're in the clear? When do you know you're in the clear? When do you know that, again, because rainfall is such a barometer, pardon the expression, rainfall is such a barometer of where we are in God's standing. It's like the stock market. It's like the Yirat Shamayim meter, right? In other words, if the rain is falling and everything is good, it's a sign we're going to have a prosperous year, the crops will be plenty, there won't be drought and there won't be starvation, right? That's a sign of God's favor. So like, at what point do you say, you know, oh, that's, it's an indicator that that we won't have drought this year, that there won't be atzirat gishamim. So Rav Chisda had said that if you could seal up the thing. So, but Rav Chisda also said that Gshamim Sheyerdu Kodem V'atzar Ein Bahem Mishum V'atzar. Right? If in the rain that fell before, whenever you can wave that flag and say, oh, this year there's no Atzirat Gshamim, is enough to say that it's not a curse.
Is it enough to say, in other words, are we saying up to this point there isn't a curse? Or this takes place at a certain time?
I think, well, Rashi says it's before Zman Kriyat Shema.
Right. So, in other words, if the rain falls before you say V'atzar et HaShamayim in Kriyat Shema, so that rain is not Ein Bohem Mishum Vatsar. In other words,
I'm asking a different question.
Yeah.
I'm asking, in calendar time, this amount of this Riviya has to fall before a certain time in order that we say.
Yeah, so that's what we were talking about last week, when we expect it.
Right.
And the Gemara later will discuss what if you don't meet those calendar benchmarks, at what point do you have to start fasting?
Right, exactly. So we're not saying if this Revi'ah falls, you know, by the, whatever that date is in Cheshvan that falls, we're not saying this year won't be a year of Atzirat Gishamim. We're just saying, till now we're okay, we can...
Yeah, in other words, l'chora, that's what it means, but it could also mean that later, if there's not enough rain, maybe it's for some other reason. It's not necessarily an indicator of the punishment from Kriyat Shema. But not all rain is created equal. So if it rains in the morning before you've said, before Zman Kriyat Shema, that rain is not necessarily an indicator of heavenly favor.
Why?
Well, as you know from having prepared ahead in the Gemara, we're going to explain. Omar Abaye, lo amran ela kodem v'atzar de'urta. So Abaye says that's talking about when the rain falls before Kriyat Shema at night. Urta. Urta means light, but it's not an oxymoron. It's a
euphemism.
Lashon Saginar for nighttime. Hold on, let me make this a little bigger. Hold on, I'm just trying to adjust the screen.
The Indian here, while you're adjusting the screen, is to know at what point we need to say special tefillot and or fast.
I guess, yeah.
So there has to be some kind of, so what? In other words, we know this Revia fell, it didn't fall. It doesn't have to mean something in terms of halakha.
Yeah, I don't understand your point, Ben.
In other words, all of this, these measurements and the refinement of the measurements is so that you know whether you have a halachic responsibility to fast and say tefillot at this point.
I mean, ultimately, that's the halachic nafkamina, but the Gemara here is not yet at that part of the conversation. The Gemara is interested in trying to determine, like, how do you know that when is rain a sign of divine favor and when is withholding rain a sign of divine disfavor and when isn't it? Not all rain is created equal. So Rav Chisda had said the rain that falls before early morning rain is not necessarily an indicator that God's disfavor has been held off. And then Abaye says, no, that's not talking about the morning Kriyat Shema. It's talking about the evening Kriyat Shema. Omar Abaye, lo amran ela kodem v'atzar de'urta. Aval kodem v'atzar de'tzafra. But if it rains before you say that pasuk in the Kriyat Shema of the morning, yesh bahem mishum v'atzar. Right? The Omar Rav Yehuda bar Yitzchak. Hani anine de tzafra lo behu mishasha. Morning clouds are fleeting. If you look out at the clouds in the morning, they're usually the very wispy clouds, not the big, thick, heavy clouds. Dichtiv, and then he brings a posuk from Hosea, which proves this. Ma eselecha Ephraim, ma eselecha Yehuda. When Hashem angered at Ephraim and Yehuda at Malchut Yisrael and Malchut Yehuda. What can I do? What am I going to do with you? Says HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Chasdachem ka'anan boker. Your good deeds are like morning clouds, meaning there's no there. There's nothing there. There's no substance to it. It's like a puff of smoke. Right? So from this, Abaye says that morning rain is usually not so efficient. So if it rains in the morning, that's not an indicator of divine pleasure. Is this true? I was thinking, as I was learning over the Gemara, I was thinking, like, how often does it happen? Like, it happens a lot, like, here in the rainy season, when we get, like, these, like, soon we're going to start getting these big thunderstorms and these heavy rains. But is it true that, like, it rarely happens you wake up in the morning and it's pouring rain?
They could also be referring to those fogs, you know? The fogs that we get in the morning that are much
Maybe.
I don't know if it's a.
Well, it can be pouring. It can have poured when you're driving to work.
Maybe.
Maybe not so often.
Anyway, but Abaye says that early morning rain is not substantial. It doesn't usually produce the rain, which is the indicator that there's no Vatsarat HaShemayim. So Omar le Rav Papa la Abaye, Vaha Amre in She, this is what people say, B'miftach Bave Mitra, Bar Chamara Moch Sakech Ugnei. When the Sha'arei Geshem, the Bay Mitra, open up, so you tell the donkey driver, put away your sack and go to sleep. There are certain professions that, like, if it's raining, you don't work, right? Like if you work in construction, in outdoor construction. So you get up in the morning, you see it's pouring rain, you're not working that day. You don't even have to go into work. You're a lifeguard. I remember when I was a kid, my father used to work in a swim club. Before he went into some other work, my father was a teacher, and in the summers he used to run a swim club, like this country club. But we knew, you woke up in the morning, it was raining, you knew you weren't going to the club. All the people, the lifeguards and all the cabana boys and all the other, you just didn't work that day because nobody goes to the pool in the rain. So the donkey drivers, if it's raining, you fold up your thing. Rashi says, Im yordin baboker, keshepotchin haptachim yikapel hachamar shemocher tfua et sako likanes lishon. V'pnei shehashana mitbarechet v'yeh sova ba'olam v'lo yistaker b'mechirat tfuato alma yafinhein. Right? You see that, Rashi? It's the first long line in the Rashi. Rashi says a little differently. Rashi says that the donkey drivers, the donkey drivers were the delivery men. Right? In other words, when you don't have a lot of rain, so some places produce more produce and some places less. So the donkey drivers will be busy. It's good for their work because they're going to be busy. They're in the import-export business of carrying grain from the places where there's excess to the places where there's not enough grain. So if it's a lot of rain, they know, oh, there's going to be good crops everywhere and we're not going to have a lot of work. We can fold up shop this year because we're not going to be having to do a lot of import-export of the grain to different areas of the country, because everybody will have what they need. So that's a sign of what? This little pitgam about the donkey drivers in the rain is an indicator of what?
That when it rains, they'll have plentiful work.
No, but that morning rain does work. As they wake up in the morning, they open the door, they open the window, they look outside to see what the weather is. And I told you this, it was every morning in my house when I was a kid. My mother would wake up in the morning before she'd be out of bed. She said to my father, "What's the weather out?" Because this would somehow affect her wardrobe or something. And my father, who wore the same thing every day, rain or shine, it didn't matter. He'd be annoyed. He'd say, "I don't know, stick your head out the window. If it's wet, you'll know it's raining." So they had the same conversation. I'm 55 years they're married. I'm sure they still have the same conversation every morning. So you open the window, you stick your head out to see what the weather is. If it's raining, they would say this pitgam about the donkey drivers. You look outside, you see the rain, you say this is weather for the birds. So in Chazal, they would open the morning, they'd look out the window, they'd see it's raining, they would say, "This is no rain for donkey drivers, because it's bad for their parnasa." So you see from this that morning rain does have an effect. If the morning rain is going to impact the economy of donkey driver import exports, so obviously you see that morning rain does have an impact. So how did the Gemara just say? Abaye say that morning rain doesn't? So the Gemara says, Lo kasha ha de diktir be'iba v'ha diktir be'anane. So it has to do with which kind of rain it was in the morning. If it was heavy clouds, if it was like a real pouring rain, so then it doesn't matter what time of the day it comes. But if it's more like the morning mist, maybe David, that's what you're doing. Like the morning mist is like the fog we get here, right? Which is a different thing. So then Taka, that doesn't count for anything. Omer of Yehuda. Omer of Yehuda. Here, you see where we are? Omer of Yehuda. Tava Lashata. The Tevet are Malta. Rav Yehuda said it's a good year when Tevet, the month of Tevet, is a widower. What does it mean to be a widower? You see Rashi, let me go down. Rashi says, Yesh l'shana de Tevet, Tova l'shana, Klomar, Tova l'shana, Tova yesh l'shana de tevet armalata, a widower, meaning she'en shamim yordimba. To call a month a widowed month means no rain fell in that month. It's an expression. So why is it good for there not to be any rain? When is tevet? Tevet is January,
yeah.
Right? The end of December, the beginning of January. So why is it good? Why is it a good sign for the year if there's no rain in that month? Ika de amre de lo bairi tarbitzi. Some say that it's a good sign because the tarbitze, the gardens, like the vegetable gardens, won't be abandoned, won't be desolate, because in that month, in Tevet, that's when something's happening in the vegetable patches. And if there's a lot of rain in Tevet, so it's bad for the coming vegetable, the vegetable crop. V'ika d'amre, and some say, d'lo shokel shudfana, that there won't be any, shidafon is like a what do you call that, a blight.
A flood?
No, I think it's...
Or deluge. It's a heavy... washes things out.
That's a shitafon. This is a shitafon with a dalet. It's a blight.
You see, Rashi. Ein hashitafon chaz ve'umitdabkan betfu'a. It's a disease that gets onto the crop. Right? So,
when the winter weeds, though?
Yes, yeah, so in other words, if it rains in Tevet, or if it rains too much in Tevet, it will somehow rot the wheat, which is then going to be coming up afterwards. Either it gets moldy, I don't know exactly what happens.
It gets a fungus or a mold or something.
So rain during that, whatever's happening in the field, whatever stage of growth the early stage of the wheat is at that point, if too much rain then is no good for it, because it will rot out the grain as it comes. So Gemara says, Ini, is this all true? That rain in Tevet is no good? Veha Omar of Chista Tava Lashata de Tevet Minavlata. It's better for the year. It's a bracha. Tava Lashata. Tov Lashana. It's a good sign for that year's crop if Tevet is minuval, is sloppy with mud, with the rain. It's so much rain that the ground becomes so muddy that every time you know how it is here, like, you know, you walk around, you get all muddy, you track it back into the house, right? So it's a contradictory statement. Here Rav Chisda says against Rav Yehuda that rain in Tevet is good. Lo kasha, no, there's no contradiction. Ha da ata mitra miikara, vaha da lo ata mitra miikara. They're talking about two different things. Rav Yehuda, who says it's better not to have rain in Tevet, is when you had a good rain in Cheshvan and Kislev, and then Tevet you take off, and then the rain resumes in Shvat and Adar. And Rav Chisda, who says it's good when you get rain in Tevet, that's if you'd been in a situation of Atzarat HaShamayim, when there was no rain in Cheshvan and Kislev, and then at least you should get it in Tevet. Because if you have no rain in Cheshvan, Kislev, and Tevet, then you're really in trouble. The Omer of Chisda, Rav Chisda had a lot to say about rain. Rav Chisda must have been like, he must have been one of those guys that, like,
the Barry Lynn of his day.
Gshamim sheyardu al miktsat medina, v'al miktsat medina lo yardu. When you have rain that falls, you know, droughts aren't all in one place. We tend to think, you know, we have this one barometer of, like, the Miflas HaKinneret, which is not even so accurate, because, like, for example, we here, we don't get our water from the Kinneret, right? We have other reservoirs and aquifers and things like that. But if you look on the back page,
almost nobody does.
Right, but if you look at the back, the Miflas HaKinneret becomes a synecdoche. It becomes like a symbol for the whole of the situation of rainfall. But it's not true. And today, altogether, you know, our economy is such that, you know, even, look, it happens that it doesn't rain, and the Rabbanut says you should start davening for rain, and you should add that paragraph, that long paragraph, into the Amidah, and we take these things very seriously. But in reality, it's not life or death. I mean, it's just a question of, like, how much more water we're going to import from Turkey or from wherever it is that we import now.
Just how much we make from the desalinization plants.
Desalination. We do. There's no importation of water.
Importation didn't work.
Oh, okay. So now we'll just be getting it from Bahrain. Bahrain will send us bottles of Mei Eden. Right? They'll just keep flying it over there. There's going to be like 173 commercial flights a week from Bahrain. Right? I mean, what are they doing? Well, who's coming back and forth from Bahrain so much, right? So they'll just ship bottles of water, empty planes full of water. The point is that a lack of rainfall may be a sign of God's pleasure or displeasure, but it is not any longer a sign of it's not the bursa. It's not any longer a sign of our financial stability, because we have other options today. That's kind of like the arrogance of modernity, right? We think that because, you know, we can afford to do other things, the very lack of God's favor is no longer relevant, when in fact it is.
We've created our own Nile.
Yes, that's a good way to describe it. We've created a situation of Mitzrayim where excess rain or absence of rain, we can ignore it.
This year certainly hasn't reminded us that we're still dependent on. We're not quite as powerful as we thought we were.
Yes, but not because of the water, but because of
in general.
So Omer of Chistag, Shamim sheyordu al miktsat medina v'al miktsat medina lo yordu, ein bahem mishum ve'atzar. When you have only a kind of localized drought, or when it's raining only in one place, so that doesn't qualify as a fulfillment of the klala of Atzaret HaShamayim, right? Because it is raining in parts of the country. So Gemara says, Ini? Remember, I've told you many times, how do you translate Ini?
Yishamba Atzar Ini. Hakativ Ini.
Ini. Ini is a Gemara term which means, oh yeah?
Is it so?
Question mark, exclamation point. And you say, like, is that statement correct? Does that statement that we just made, does it bear scrutiny? V'achtiv. There's a posuk. The posuk says, the posuk in Amos, V'gam anochi manati mikem et hageshem be'od shlosha chadashim lekatsir. V'himtarti al ir achat, v'al ir achat lo amtir. Chelka achat timater. Right, Amos says that, well, Hashem says in the Navi Amos that he's holding back the rain 3 months before the harvest time, and he makes it rain in one place on one city, and it doesn't rain on another city. One place is rained on, and there's one place there's rain, another place there isn't. So you see, what Hashem is, through Amos, Hashem is talking about this punishment, and what's happening in that punishment? It's raining in one place, and it's not raining in another place. Right? But wait a second, we just said that if it rains in one place, it's not raining in another place. That's not a sign. You can't decipher from that a sign of God's displeasure. But then in the Navi Amos, it's exactly what happens, right? It's exactly what happens. So Omar Rav Abahu, Me'ematai Mivarchin al Hakshamim. Oh, no. Lokashya. I skipped the line. Lokashya. Ha da'ata tuva, v'ha da'ata midiboilo. So the Gemara says, no, it's not a contradiction. When Rav Yehuda said that it's not a sign of punishment when it rains in one place and it doesn't rain in another place, that's when it talks about the Ata Tuva, right? That a lot of rain falls in one place and it causes a flood. It causes a shitafon, not a shidafon, right? But Rav Chisda is talking about when enough rains in one place, and in that case, it's not necessarily a sign, right? It's a bracha for the whole country. Why? Because if it rains in one area, if it rains in Yehuda, but it doesn't rain in the Shvela, so like the Shvela can manage. They'll bring grain from Yehuda.
It's not exactly true.
Why?
I don't know that they were irrigating in the Shvela from water.
No, not water, but they could bring grain.
So that their farms would fail, but they could bring grain.
I don't know whether their farms would fail, but the point is that people wouldn't die of hunger.
Right.
In other words, not every year. The Gemara is trying to kind of temper. Maybe the Gemara is trying to temper this idea that if it rained, how many centimeters of rain do we get on an average year?
600. How much rain?
Yeah. Like, what's a good rain? Like, at what point do we say we've had enough rain?
30 inches.
How do you know these things?
600
inches,
I thought, was the...
All right, so let's say 30 inches.
What's the average rainfall in Israel?
So if this year we had 31 inches, and last year we had 29 inches, so you'd say, like, okay, b'sach hakol, we had 2 good years. But do you say that, like, well, we had two more inches of God's favor this year? Like, this year, we're like 2 more inches more righteous. And if next year we have 28 and a half inches, we say, oh, gee, we're an inch and a half in deficit of God's favor. So maybe the Gemara is trying to get us to see, like, more of a global picture. Plus, first of all, it doesn't rain the same amount in each and every place. Right? Chazal were aware that there are microclimates at work in our little nation. And you have to look at the totality. It could be that any one farmer's crop is going to fail, right? For one reason or another, right? A dam bursts and floods that field, and that farmer's crop fails, right? That's not necessarily a sign of God's pleasure or displeasure with the world, because that farmer's not going to starve to death. His neighbors will help him. He'll be able to buy food elsewhere. It'll be a hard year. Financially, it'll be very difficult, right? But it's not necessarily a sign of, like, national displeasure. Of va'atzaret ha-shamayim v'lo yeh matar. And just because it didn't rain as much in one place in the country as it did in another place in the country, that's not a sign of va'atzaret ha-shamayim v'lo yeh matar in that neighborhood. Like, you shouldn't start the witch trials. You shouldn't start looking around to see, okay, who didn't daven with kavana in our part of the country because we got 3 inches less rain than they did. So
look, our average rainfall is 550 millimeters.
550 millimeters.
21.5 inches.
Okay, so you weren't so close.
But, you know, the negative is only going to get 2-3 inches, whereas the Galileo maybe 40 inches.
Right. So how much does it rain in Beersheba?
Very little.
Very little. So you don't say in Beersheba they're in a matzav atzaret hashemayim v'lo yeh matar. So obviously they're not so frum there. God doesn't love them so much because they get the kind of rain that they need. Right.
So we get about 50 millimeters a year.
You get 50 millimeters a year.
30 inches.
Okay.
2-3 inches.
So, lokashya. Ha de ata tuva, va ha de atya kidemiboile. There's a difference between when rain comes too much. You know, too much rain is also the good. You want to get dimiboile, what is required. Omer avashi, daikanami. You can also infer this from what the pasuk Anamos said, dichtiv timater, right? That it will be rained upon, timater. In one part of the country, it will be rained upon. Tehe makom matar, shmamina, right? It will be rain. It will be a place of rain. It'll be filled with rain and with water. It's a kind of like drasha on that word in Amos. So Omer of Abahu, me'ematai mevarchin al hagshamim. When do you say a bracha over the rain? Right? Like, at what point do you say, oh, we're in the clear. We see it's real rain. And you should say a bracha. And now we don't have this bracha. Chazal had this idea that you say a bracha when you've reached a certain amount of rainfall, as a sign of thanksgiving to God. So me'ematai mevarchin al hagshamim. Mishiyatsa chatan lekrat kala. When the groom goes out to greet the bride. Rashi says, hold on, here's Rashi. Chatan lekrat kala. You see where we are? Towards the bottom. She yardu kol. Sheyedur kol kach, shekeshe hatipa nofelet, yotza acheret, uvoletet kenegda mipimor, etc. When the puddles, like when the rain is coming, so that when you have puddles, right? Because what happens with puddles? It means that not like us, we have sidewalks that make puddles, and we have streets where the sewers back up so that the water starts streaming down the street, but in a field, right? If you have a field, like a flat field, if so much rain is coming down that the ground is saturated and can't absorb it immediately, so that you have standing water on the ground, you have a puddle, so then when the drops come, the drops from below, so in other words, it's like this. In other words, you know what I'm
splashing.
Yeah, so here, it looks like this. right? So that's in the Gemara's metaphor, that's kechatan lekrata kala, right? You know, like at the weddings when, you know, the chatan is up at the chuppah and the kala walks down, and then the chatan sometimes like walks down to meet her halfway down the aisle to like escort her back into the chuppah. Right, so here you see like the rain from the bottom is splashing up and the rain from the heavens is coming down, and the two drops are meeting not on the ground but up, you know, an inch above. That's the Gemara's metaphor of kechatan likrat hakala. My mevarech. So when you have so much rain like that, you're supposed to say a bracha. So what's the bracha? My mevarech. Omar Rav Yehuda, Omar Rav, modim anachnu lach Hashem Elokeinu al kol tipa v'tipa shehoradata lanu. You know those stickers they used to have. You know, I remember haval al kol tipa v'tipa. You don't have it anymore. It's a sign that the ethos has changed. But for many generations, Israeli kids were raised on the idea of chaval al kol tipa v'tipa. You don't waste water. It was a national ethic, right? You don't waste water. It was anti-Zionist to waste water, right? Except for Yom HaMayim and Shavuot, when you'd have the water fights, it was considered to just be so unpatriotic to waste water. And you'd have those little stickers and those other ad campaigns, chaval al kol tipa v'tipa. So that's right here. It's in the Gemara. Here it's the opposite. When there's enough rain, we thank Hashem, modim anachnu lo al kol tipa v'tipa shehoradata lanu, on each and every drop that you brought down from heaven. Rabbi Yochanan misayim ba bahachi. Rabbi Yochanan would conclude the bracha, ilu finu malei shira kayam ul shanenu rina ka'amon galav v'chulei. Those are the lines that we know from Nishmat. There's Nishmat, this praise of Hashem that we're unable to proper. It's a praise of Hashem in which we say we are unable to properly praise you. Right? If our mouths were as full of song as the sea is full of water, it would be insufficient. Ad kel yivunu rachamecha Hashem Elokeinu v'lo azvunu baruch rov hahodaot. So you say this kind of a selection from what we know as nishmat, and you conclude this praise of Hashem baruch rov hahodaot. Blessed are you, Hashem. Maybe it's baruch atah Hashem Elokeinu melech haolam, or baruch atah Hashem rov hahodaot, the abundant in praise. Rov ha'hodaot velo kol ha'hodaot. What does it mean? What does it mean that we say Hashem has abundant praise? He has most of the praise. Shouldn't Hashem have all of the praise? Kol ha'hodaot. Amar Rava, Ema. So Rava says Ema kel ha'hodaot, that God is the God of praise. Omar Rav Papa Hilchach. So Rav Papa says. Switch the page, top of Daf 7 Omar Aleph, Zayin Omar Aleph, Nimruhu L'Travayhu. So Rav Papa combines the two versions of the bracha and says, Kel ha'hodaot v'rov ha'hodaot. He says that you should say that he is the God of praise, Kel meaning he's the mighty one of praise, and abundant in praise. He's the God of well, hodaot isn't praise. Hodaot is thanksgiving, right? He is the God of thanksgiving, right? Not, you think the God of thanksgiving has to do with turkey and football. No, he's the God of thanksgiving, meaning all thanksgiving, all giving of thanks is directed to him. In other words, if you have a proper sense of priorities, you realize that each and every raindrop, like if you realize each and every raindrop is a sign of God's beneficence, right? So he is the Kel Ha'odaot. He is the mighty one to whom it is proper to give thanks, to give abundant thanks. Then Omar Rabbi Abahu, Godol Yom Hagshamim Mitchiat HaMetim. That's, of course, picks up on something we discussed last week about the connection between rain, childbirth, and the revival of the dead. Right? These are all these life-giving or life-reviving events. A rainy day is greater than the day that the dead will be revived. That great messianic vision of the revival of the dead, a rainy day, you think that's going to be like a great day? Right? You know, like Yechezkel and the dry bones and the whole thing? Nah. A rainy day is better. Why is a rainy day better? De'ilu t'chet ha'metim letzadikim. Who will be revived in the messianic era? The righteous. Ve'ilu g'shamim ben letzadikim ben l'rshayim. When it rains, that's good for everybody. Now, the wicked people also benefit from a good rain, right? Ufligi de Rav Yosef, the Omar Rav Yosef, mitoch shehi shkula ketchiat ha'metim, kavu betchiat ha'metim. Right, and this is statement goes against what Rav Yosef said. Rav Yosef said that rain is equal; it's measured against the revival of the dead. And that's why we say Mashiv Haruach HaMorid HaGoshem in the bracha of Tchiyat HaMetim. So if Yosef said that rain and the revival of the dead, these are equal. But Rabbi Abahu said that rain is greater than Tchiyat HaMetim. You know what, we'll stop. We started, I should have paused a line ago. We'll pick it up from here next week, more on dead and rain. Okay, so in the meantime, remember on Motzei Shabbos, Mashiv Haruach HaMorid Tein Talu Matar Livra. Okay.
Shkoyach.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.